From CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Laura Fitzgerald, in for Vicky Gonzalez. Has Sacramento's downtown been slow to recover from the pandemic? Public health restrictions and the switch by many to remote work drastically reshaped the area's streets, businesses, and overall vibe, with lasting effects that can still be seen today. But downtown is also coming off a period of big changes. The Kings made the move from Natomas to downtown's Golden 1 Center in 2016, ushering in a new era of entertainment for that area. Paul McCartney was the very first concert at the Golden 1 Center that city leaders promised would become a hub of activity, especially once DoCo opened up. And the Tower Bridge dinner has become a reality as the Farm to Fork movement kicked into gear. So with all these shakeups, both planned and unexpected, what does the future hold? Joining me now is Scott Ford. He's the Deputy Director of the Downtown Sacramento Partnership. Welcome back to Insight, Scott.
Thanks for having me, Laura. Great to be here.
Thanks. So just briefly, starting out, for those that aren't quite familiar with the Downtown Sacramento Partnership, what does the organization do?
We are a property-based improvement district. We were California's very first type of these organizations established back in 1995. We recently renewed for another 10-year term, and we expanded our geographical boundaries, serving 66 square blocks previously up to 102 square blocks, really stretching from the old Sacramento waterfront to 16th Street and about 8th Street on the north side, the southern portion of the rail yards, down to O Street, so including a lot of the state of California inventory there. So we're community development at our core, but we serve the broader Sacramento region as well.
Yeah, and you kind of described some of those boundaries, but can you again just say what area are we really talking about in terms of the area that your region is serving, especially because a lot of our listeners maybe aren't super familiar with downtown Sacramento?
Yeah, well, we are the central neighborhood of the greater Sacramento region. We're California state capital, of course. We're a region of 2.4 million people, the hub of policy for the fourth largest economy in the world. But people sometimes previously looked at downtown as simply a one-dimensional office district. There's been tremendous evolution, as you mentioned, over the past few years, and downtowns are evolving very much. Yes, we are centers for employment for a great area, but we are also centers of social collisions, the activities that you find at Golden 1 Center, at Terra Madre Americas, the types of festivals that bring people together for social reasons. But we're also evolving to even more, a growing residential population, higher education, infusing multiple uses. Cities should be complex, but they shouldn't be complicated. They should have a variety of use types, but they should be predictable. And so that's kind of what I mean by that. And those are really the types of conditions that create not just economic opportunity for people, but they also present predictability for investment, for the types of housing creators that we want to keep seeing bringing infill housing production at all levels of affordability to the city. It's also, by and large, the people's largest impression of the Sacramento region is largely defined by the experience of the downtown neighborhood. So we really say that the health of downtown economically, socially, and just the visibility that it gives this region nationally and internationally is extremely important to everybody in this region.
Yeah, so it's no secret that the pandemic and its resulting fallout really had a significant impact on the city center of Sacramento. What does the current state of downtown look like? Have you learned any lessons from the time that you'd like to carry forward as you look into the next decade?
Yeah, well, 2020 was sobering for city centers across the United States and around the world, and it exposed a lot of vulnerabilities. I talked a bit about, cities should be diverse in their portfolios, their mix of uses. That spreads the uses across 7 days a week and throughout not just a 8-to-5 Monday through Friday workday, but you want to have activities in the evenings, on the weekends, that consistency that really gives predictability to businesses and to the experience at the street level. So we have been focused, I would say even before 2020, the investment of the Sacramento Kings and Golden 1 Center, that was a game changer for this region. I grew up here, and I grew up going to events in Natomas at the old location of the arena. And I know a lot of people thought that bringing the arena into the heart of the city was a pretty radical idea. And fast forward a decade later, that's been transformative, not just because of the experiences that we come together and share at Golden 1 Center, but also because of the ripple effect of investment, of activity, of vibrancy that cities are known for. And that is a really exciting thing to build upon. But we need to continue to add additional dimensions to Sacramento's central neighborhood if we want it to be sustainable, successful. But the foundation is there, the infrastructure. We have great regional transit assets. We have 43 miles of light rail that converge downtown. You know, sometimes I say all rail, all roads lead to the central neighborhood in any region. And so that fundamental value proposition of building upon the great foundation that we have there is something that we can leverage. And, you know, we're working with partners at Sacramento State University, the state of California, CADA, and many others to reimagine what underutilized assets along Capitol Mall in close proximity to transit, what those can be for the future, pathways of education, of opportunity, and housing on site. You know, those are really exciting areas that we are pushing into. And I think, you know, had the world not shifted so significantly in 2020, we may have not had the opportunity to make bold moves like this.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. And I also want to return to something else you mentioned, which is that 8-to-5 workday. So I do want to talk about state workers for just a second. There's been an ongoing disagreement between state workers and Governor Gavin Newsom about the state's return to work policy. And that is set to go into effect later this year on July 1st. What kind of feedback has the Downtown Partnership been hearing from its members about the impact of state workers still working remotely? What have you been hearing?
Well, Sacramento, as we know, is the state capital of the largest state in the nation. So the state of California plays a tremendous role in not just the downtown economy, but the regional economy. And so, you know, continuing to create conditions and the experience in the central city where employees, visitors, residents want to spend time is really been the focus of our organization. Continuing to add consistency. And over the past year, we've seen about an 8% increase year over year in the amount of employees who are choosing to come into the downtown area. And that's been a really healthy boost for street level activity. We work very closely with our partners at the city of Sacramento, the county, the state, on up to the federal level to make sure that we are creating conditions that fundamentally feel safe, welcoming, and inspiring for people to spend time in. And I think that's a successful equation, for employees, again, for residential production. Over the past decade, we've seen over 4,700 residential units built in the central city of Sacramento. And that really is a shift in the way that we need to grow as a region, bringing housing in close proximity to opportunity in the form of jobs and social. This is how cities have been built for thousands of years. And proximity creates efficiency. That is really a fundamental truth. And when you infuse different types of uses in close proximity, and I think that this ties very well to whether it's academic performance. Students that live on or near a university tend to have higher success rates in their education. It's the same for collaboration. You know, I think technology is a great efficiency multiplier in a lot of ways, but there is no replacement for the innovation that is spurred by in-person collaboration. It really drives performance. The reason I came into the studio today to have this conversation with you is because we're more connected when we're physically in close proximity, and we can have, I think, a more productive conversation. And it's the same with employment, with collaboration. And so that is something we're focused on. But again, creating conditions, making sure that fundamentally the city of Sacramento, the central neighborhood, is safe, is welcoming. We are seeing great progress as far as working with our partners at the Sacramento Police Department in making sure that safety for all is truly something that we deliver. We're also working closely with the city, the mayor's office, DCR, and many others on making sure that people have access to their basic needs, notably unsheltered individuals. You know, we know there's a huge concentration of them. And collectively, if we are not meeting the most basic needs of our most vulnerable residents, we're not doing what we need to. And so those are areas that we are seeing significant progress over the past 2 years. The stats that we track in those areas have been very encouraging. But I will be the first one to say that there is a lot of work yet to be done, and it's a shared responsibility.
Yeah, I hear you saying that bringing more housing downtown will be a really big part of the equation when it comes to, I guess, actualizing this vision for downtown Sacramento. What area would benefit the most from people living downtown? Do you have any thoughts on the Sac State Meta office buildings deal? Do you see potential there? Are there other housing options on the table?
I see tremendous vision, first of all, in President Luke Wood and all of our partners who have been part of reimagining what these very location-efficient sites between 7th and 9th Street on Capitol Mall, literally in the shadow of, the California State Capitol, those have been underutilized for some time now. And the idea, we have seen this model in cities across the United States and around the world, where when you create pathways for opportunity, and I say that in the context of education, of vocational training, of really upward social mobility, which education is, and you do it at a place that already has the built-in infrastructure of transportation. And when you start to look at building high-density housing on that site or in close proximity, that is a successful recipe for student success, for regional economic prosperity, but also for the health of downtown. It's a great demand driver. Same way that we're seeing, investments from the medical sector. Kaiser Permanente is under construction for a multi-billion dollar medical campus in the rail yard. Sutter Health has made a big commitment to repurpose an underutilized office building at 660 J Street into a center for medical. UC Davis Health making tremendous investments in the Oak Park area around. Those are all demand drivers, and they're not just employment drivers and health and wellness drivers, but they also drive demand for housing in close proximity to those. So those are really successful things. We know that all the great work that we do, both in the city of Sacramento and the region as far as housing production, fall short of our regional housing needs assessments. We're not keeping up with demand, and that's at all levels of affordability. The markets that we see the most success in stabilizing rent and making sure that there is truly opportunity for people to have access to stable housing are the ones that build at all levels of affordability. So we're focused on all of that. To answer your question, we need as much housing at all levels in all of these key locations where people fundamentally can walk, can roll, can take transit to those opportunities. And again, even if people don't choose to live in the central city or to utilize public transit, those remove other vehicles from our roads. It's better environmentally, mm-hmm. It's better economically, and it's better socially long-term for the health of the Sacramento region.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Scott Ford of the Downtown Sacramento Partnership about the organization's vision for Sacramento's city center. So, Scott, I'm wondering, how is the Downtown Sacramento Partnership reaching out to local residents or potential visitors, and what are you hearing about the changes that they want to see downtown?
Well, community is about collaboration, and we have a growing residential population. We've got great networks that we reach out to, both with property managers, with residents directly, and with our housing creators, our development community, that are trying to make the numbers work on very complex projects. It's much more complicated to build multi-story infill housing at the places that fundamentally the Sacramento region should be prioritizing to build them at. But those are complicated propositions, which is part of why we've seen a slowdown in construction starts the past 2 years. Interest rates are high, labor costs are high, construction costs for a variety of reasons are high. But, those are all things that we try to, on the policy end, on initiatives like Streamline Sacramento that Mayor McCarty and Councilmember Pluckybaum have led, to speed up the process and increase that predictability of permitting to get housing built where we need it to be built. But then, also making sure that the experience that we are delivering, and that is safety for everyone in our shared public realm, which is our plazas, our sidewalks, our parks, our waterfront, if that is not in place, and again, I mentioned that we've got great working relationships with the Sacramento Police Department. We are continuing to update the service deliveries that we do through technology and through private security to supplement that. But that foundation needs to be in place if people are going to choose downtown and the central city as a neighborhood of choice. And then the activations, Visit Sacramento and many of our community-based organizations who bring foster the culture and fan the flame of the creative economy that is what makes Sacramento, Sacramento. Those, when we're bringing festivals, when we're bringing concerts, when we are supporting Terra Madre Americas and other types of celebrations of the unique identity of the Sacramento region in a place where fundamentally people can come together like that, that is a great value proposition for why we want to keep people in Sacramento and continue to attract people to this region.
So yesterday, the Downtown Sacramento Partnership rolled out its plan for downtown's next decade, its vision for the next 10 years. Tell us a little bit about what this plan includes.
Yeah, well, you know, some of the foundational basics that I've touched upon already, safety for all is foundational. You know, if anyone doesn't feel safe and if anyone doesn't have access to basic needs, housing and other, then, you know, we're not meeting the needs, the most basic needs of our community. And so, you know, those aspects, just creating conditions where, you know, the Sacramento region can come together, where investment comes in and where we can continue to evolve downtown into where it is going. And that's a much more diversified mix of uses. You know, that is the foundation of it. We want to create pathways towards opportunity for everyone. And that is about diversifying our economic sectors. I mentioned as a state capital for a long time, we've been, I think, pigeonholed as a one-dimensional government town. Being a state capital and having a strong public sector is a great foundation, but you want to complement it with private sector, with healthcare, you know, and with a great variety of opportunities so that everyone growing up in this region has opportunities that they see themselves growing into and they can make a good living. And then, you know, the educational component. So that's something we've seen it in cities from Phoenix to Madison, Wisconsin to Austin, Texas, where, you know, it is not a coincidence that cities that have major university presence in their downtown and they really create that pathway of opportunity for young minds, but they create that pathway of talent too that private sector companies want to invest in. You know, those are the successful recipes that we see driving healthy downtown neighborhoods and regional economies. And so we're very much focused on being bold about those initiatives, finding what the barriers are currently to attract that investment and working with our policymakers on those. The last thing I'll say is that connecting to our natural assets. I mean, we've got the largest river in the state of California, the Sacramento River, divided from our downtown by a 10-lane freeway. And we have seen in cities like Dallas, where Clyde Warren Park reconnected Uptown Dallas to Downtown Dallas in the form of a physical park over the freeway, we've seen that those kind of catalytic investments really capitalize on great natural assets like waterfronts. And so we're thankful to Congressmember Matsui. She has been able to secure some federal funding to continue the efforts towards bridging that physical divide. But the psychological connection that will give us to the waterfront will be tremendous.
Well, it sounds like we have a lot to keep our eyes peeled for in the next 10 years. Next 10 years or so. Thank you so much, Scott, for joining us on Insight. Really appreciate it.
It's great to be here. Thanks, Laura.
Scott Ford is the deputy director of the Downtown Sacramento Partnership, which unveiled its plans this week for improving the city's core during the next 10 years. Up next, as the number of people being detained by ICE increases, so too has the number of detainees that need medical attention while in custody. We'll talk to a reporter who says family members are struggling to find their loved ones as hospitals refuse to share information about patients in ICE custody. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Laura Fitzgerald, in for Vicki Gonzalez.